almost identically, both the bulk wave propagation and the acoustic microscopy, but related to things like optical for histology, as well as scanning electron microscopy to look at density distributions and structure. So again, so although I use those, I've always said what you need is all of these things. You need something that measures structure, something that measures properties, and there are different ways of looking at properties. So you want to, and although I can't do all of it, then I can see how it fits in, and I do that. So my major interest still is to understand how and why the structure forms and how it relates to the properties. And any tool or device that will do that, I'll either work with those people or work with it myself.
Yeah.
So in each case, as I say, I've been kind of maybe like one of these things that attracts the bugs to it, you know, to kill themselves.
The zappers.
the zappers, that because of this interest and because of having a history of publication and being one of the, at the cutting edge in this, that my colleagues, when they have something like this, who are themselves not biomedical engineers, they say, I've got this thing, but it looks like it should relate to you. And I say, you bet you it does. And we start working on it. Mm-hmm. And then we merge our expertise. I make no claims to be able to develop the scanning evanescent microwave device because I don't have that kind of background in microwave. But I know what are the restrictions and how the measurements should be done and what's required in order to correlate those measurements with my acoustic measurements, where I have made myself more. Not that I designed the acoustic microscopes, but I have evolved to the point where I understand what the wave propagation and how that relates to those kind of things. And that's why very quickly when he told me about this, I said, oh, man, am I ever interested, because there are things that we would love to know of what's going on inside and relate to that measurements that are people doing externally or what we do ex vivo.
Yeah.
When all the measurements on the acoustic microscope, you must take samples that you cut, and you say, we know it's no longer the way it was in bone, but we try and keep it, or at least we understand what we're measuring. But if I do an experiment where, for instance, there's business of where you do what's called distraction to make a person's bone grow, there's a way of doing it. You cut the bone about a millimeter, and you put a device on the outside where you can, with that, which is very rigid with screws in it, and each day you pull it slightly, and each day the cells are trying to close the gap. And you can actually grow people several millimeters, centimeters.
Oh.
It was invented by a Russian who was all the way off in their equivalent of East Poland, probably in Siberia, as opposed to Moscow or Leningrad, which were the centers. And he took Wolff's Law, which is a phenomenological thing based by a German anatomist, physiologist, turn of the century, way back, that said that bone function and form are related, that the way the bone develops, not the shape, because that's genetic, but the quality of bone depends upon the forces.
Tennis player's right arm is...
Oh, you can measure the ultrasound velocity with 100%. I can tell you whether you're right-handed or left-handed, even through the skin. I don't have to do it. Just by because the you put in the transducer here and receiver there, and the fast wave will come through the skin. It'll be on the surface of the bone, so the soft tissues won't affect it. And there'll be a difference, because the density is quite different. There's very good stuff in the literature showing, and also with the function of age, the bone, so you know that. And that's exactly the case. And so he took it literally, whereas other people, and he did this, and his name was Elizaroff, and became world famous. I think it's A-L-I-Z-E-R-O-F-F, or O-V probably, Elizaroff. It's called the Elizaroff technique. Now it's called distraction osteogenesis.
Okay.
Osteogenesis means the genesis, the growth of bone, and distraction because you're literally pulling it apart after making the cut and traction. And the people are applying it now in teeth. You know, people who get these jaws where the teeth overlap, they cut it and they do the same thing. And what you can do is make the mandible open up so the teeth and the teeth move with it. So it's just fascinating how these things get picked up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things you'd like to know, because you have to do it with this external device, is you don't want to have the external device on too long. If it's on too long, you shield the bone from getting all the forces that the cells need after they fill in the gap. You want it to form into bone,
right?
And you get osteoporosis. You're over the.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And if it's on too short and you take it off, you get a pseudo articulation, then the thing will break again because it hasn't filled in.
Yeah.
So we're talking about implanting one of these things because you can make it into an orthopedic screw and then look at it. Again, you won't do it in humans, but in animals, at least, or in sheep is what they're doing, for instance, the group I work with in Germany. And you can look at the callus formation and see how, how long it takes on average for the callus.
Exactly when to
so you, well, not exact, because there's always a distribution, but you have some idea what the range is, and then say, to translate this to human, what you think is, by doing the observations with x-rays, you now have the relationship between, you see an x-rays of the bone, and its actual ability to withstand load. So you're using a combination of these, they use a CAT scan, again, the electrical engineering product.
Yeah.
Okay. GE, you know, Siemens, with this type of thing.